Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 3, day 3 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 3, 7 through 9. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you and fascinate us with your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 3, starting in verse 7. Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters, and gave food and drink and olive oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, so that they would bring cedar logs by sea from Lebanon to Joppa, as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. So all of this area, you know, Lebanon and Tyre and Sidon, all of this, this is all under the jurisdiction of the Persian Empire at the moment. And so obviously, in addition to Cyrus's letter, he's made arrangements for the people of Israel, the Jews returning, the exiles, for them to go ahead and make this exchange. The cedars of Lebanon are historically famous. The nation of Lebanon was nothing but a forest of cedars, this incredibly high quality, you know, wood. These trees, when they're milled and the lumber's used, it's rot resistant, it's pest resistant. I mean, this is the perfect wood to build things that last forever and ever, especially when you're building with heavy timbers, because these trees are massive. And today, there's really only one forest of these cedars left, because throughout thousands of years, Lebanon was the source material for all of these monster building projects. And so it was overforested and deforested to where now there's almost none of these cedars left. And the nation of Lebanon itself has been transformed from a giant forest to mostly desert now, because these forests have been, you know, depopulated of their trees. But at the time, you know, that's where you went to get trees like this. There was nothing in Israel that could, you couldn't mill up these giant trees to use as timbers to span large distances to build roofs and things like that out of, because there just weren't trees like that in Israel or almost anywhere else. But Lebanon had these kinds of trees. And so Cyrus is like, hey, this is under my jurisdiction. You know, they had to pay them something. And so it seems like horse trading here, but this is all very valuable stuff. I mean, it'd be the same thing as if you sold all of this stuff that you have for money and then went and paid them for it. So it's just a bit of horse trading, but it's of, you know, valuable things for other valuable things. And so they were going to cut the logs and probably do some very light milling and then float them by barge, or maybe even float them in the sea and drag them down to Joppa so that they could then be offloaded and brought by, you know, horse and buggy or however they were going to do that, drag these things down to Jerusalem, which I can't imagine the amount of work all of this was. I mean, again, these trees are huge. This is not a small task. This is on the order of building the pyramids, kind of logistics to actually move these huge, huge timbers to get them to, you know, Jerusalem. And I imagine that whatever small amount of milling they did in Lebanon, you know, probably paled in comparison to what they had to do on site or wherever they set these things up. But they would have been huge chunks of trees, if not just the entire tree themselves, just, you know, debranched, floating these things and then moving them. Again, a huge logistical challenge, but they're going ahead and they're getting ready to start all of this work. They're making these arrangements and they're getting moving. Let's continue on verse 8. In the second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, Joshua son of Jozadak, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites, and all who had returned from captivity to Jerusalem, began the work. So we see that you know, they came back together and they decided to start doing this, as we read, you know, over the past couple of days. And it's taken them several months to get all of this infrastructure in place to start the work. This is no small project, and they're not treating it as any small project. This isn't, you know, building a shed in your backyard, going to Home Depot, I mean, you know, getting materials. This is a huge ordeal with some massive logistical hurdles, and it's taken them several months to get all of that in place. They're also getting ready to organize all of their labor forces, and so they are at this point treating this with the intensity and holiness that this building deserves. And they know that this needs to be this magnificent, magnificent building. Continuing, they appointed Levites 20 years old and older to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Verse 9, Joshua and his sons and brothers and Kadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah and the sons of Henadad and their sons and brothers, all Levites joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. So Zerubbabel decided to make all of the Levites that were 20 years old and older in charge of just the management phase of rebuilding the house of the Lord. And so, you know, they're probably pitching in, working on it too, but they're the ones that are being tasked with actually overseeing everything and making sure that all of this gets taken care of. Now, I was in construction for a long time. I was in highway construction, so I'm used to seeing the logistics and the manpower and the resources that go into building really large-scale projects. The largest project that I ever managed personally was about $35 million. It was a large highway reconstruction project. And I loved all of the logistics and all of, you know, just all of the components, the scheduling, the figuring out where everything has to go and when, just, you know, juggling all of that kind of stuff. It was so much fun when I did it. It was a lot of work and a lot of hassle, and you constantly got people angry at you, screaming at you. It's this nonstop, you know, thrill ride of stuff and angry people and happy people. And it was an amazing experience to get to do that while I did it. It had its downsides too. For those of you that do construction, you know what I'm talking about. But when I read these kinds of things, I think about all of the logistics. I think about all of the things that have to get built before you can start the building and the site work and all of these things. And there's so many details to figure out before you can actually start the construction process. And I can't imagine in their case where 70 years earlier, and actually even longer than 70 years earlier, you know, there's been these series of wars and destruction of this city where, you know, the temple was destroyed and so many of the houses and so much of the infrastructure in the city has been laid waste that they've got to actually rebuild parts of the city streets and different things like that just to get the materials to site. There's so many other things that have to go into this. Some of the things that we're going to see they're going to have to put off until later. Some of these things are going to put off for 60, 70 years. And some of these things that most definitely had to get done, things that we're not going to be told that they had to do to make this work. But even to bring the trees from Joppa to Jerusalem, imagine the amount of infrastructure they've got to fix along the way to even make that possible to get those timbers to Jerusalem. So there's a whole bunch of work in the midst of, it's already been alluded to that they have enemies in the land. There are people that don't like what's going on. They don't like the fact that the Jews have been allowed to return and they've been given this section of land that used to kind of be the property of those that came in and took over after they left. And so they've got to do all of this kind of while looking over their shoulders, making sure that there's not about to be a knife in their back. So this is all very difficult work, but the sense we're getting here in chapter 3 of Ezra is that they are excited, that they're gearing up to do this work, and they're ready, they're looking forward to it, and there's an excitement, there's an energy over this building project. And like so many other construction projects I've been involved with, there is this honeymoon phase where you get the work and you're getting geared up and you're putting all of these logistical things into place and you can start to envision what it's going to look like and what it's going to be like. And then the real work starts, and then that honeymoon phase is over, and that's when you start hitting the problems. And that's in any construction project, even if you don't have people, you know, ready, willing, and able to stab you in the back with a literal knife, you know, having to look over your shoulders for that kind of stuff. The honeymoon phase of this project is about to come to an end. We'll get into that next time. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.